Christopher Nemalka, please confirm if you are the only true messenger on the earth, and how do you claim to be this when others, and show us how this is different from a prophet.
Gotcha. No doubt in my mind, or in people who have studied the marvelous work and the wonder and have asked me questions, that I am the only true messenger, because I'm the only one that will take your question and explain it and give you a common sense answer that makes sense. There is no other person on this earth that will do this type of thing and videotape themselves and make that challenge, ask me anything, I'll give you an answer. They don't want to do it. And when you test other so-called prophets, which I am not, I'm delivering a message of real truth. Prophets are those who say they can predict the future, or they know God, or they know some crazy thing. But they can't answer your questions. Many of them would say, that's how you test, that's how you would know. Go up to a person and ask them the hardest existential, spiritual, religious question that you could possibly come up with. And they won't be able to answer you. Or they'll say, well, that's a mystery of God that we don't quite understand, or they'll give you some convoluted answer. My claim as being a true messenger is because I speak to the common sense of a person, anyone. People reject my answers because they don't want them to be right. But none of them can ever say that they don't make sense. That's the definitive difference between a true messenger and a so-called prophet or other religious leader or somebody who's claiming that God's called them to be a messenger, whatever. God hasn't called me to do nothing, because there's no such thing as the God that people believe in. What I tell you in the experience that I had is simple. My mind knows the real truth. A messenger delivers what's in his mind, his message to the world. That's it. Okay, so yes, I make that claim. As a mortal, a person who has the right to speak to other people, be videotaped, I make that claim. And I challenge anyone out there to challenge that. The only way you can is ask me a question that I can't answer about our real lives. Something that that makes sense to everybody. Now, I don't know if I clearly answered your question or not.
Follow up to that?
Sure, I think you did.
Clarifying. So, is there only one messenger on the earth per what?
Per anything. There's always just one. Can you imagine what would happen if there were two?
Well, when one dies and not a new one comes. I mean, per lifespan then of the messenger.
The only purpose for a true messenger is to be available to the people of the world to tell them the truth. There's only been two times in the history of this world, and there will only be two times, where one of us was among the people and our job was to tell the real truth. That's my job and a guy that lived back in about 88 BC, according to the records that we have, that we accept as the calendar. We tell the truth. All the others that knew the real truth were not allowed to disclose their true identity. They would have been killed if they did, and most of them were. Their job was to talk to people on the people's level at the time. Their job was to say this: don't listen to any man, listen to God. God will lead you. Don't listen to religious leaders or political leaders, because they're all corrupt. Listen to God. So he's using that idea that people have of God to get them to stop listening to all the bullshit that people are telling them. When in reality, they could say the real truth. There is no God, it's just you and your mind and your reality. Don't depend on anybody else. Don't listen to anybody else. Listen to yourself.
Okay. So just to clarify in my mind what you've just said, there's only been two in our current mortal.
Two messengers that revealed the
real truth. But there are other voices out there saying what you just said, don't listen to anybody outside of yourself, but they're not true messengers in that sense.
No, you're misunderstanding. See, and here we're getting into doctrines and teachings. I don't think we should go into those. I think we should stick with the biography. I think we should stick with my life and what happened there. If not, you're going to try to drag me into your own personal pocket messenger, where you're going to want to answer the questions that Sharon wants, where other people have already had those completely explained. So we need to stick with the biography type. What happened in my life and why it happened, okay? I don't want to get off on those tangents of explaining things because Sharon Cock doesn't understand them, okay? So let's stick to what we're doing. Okay, Robbie, if you have follow-up questions or I wasn't clear, you tell me.
So, Christopher, from what I've understood, you claim to have an appearance in the Salt Lake Temple by an advanced human being. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you were shown the gold plates?
Yes. What appeared to me to be plates of gold, as I would perceive them, as most LDS Mormons would perceive them at the time.
And you've been called as the only true messenger on the earth at this time?
That's correct.
If those claims are true, wouldn't this be the most important message for the world?
Absolutely, it is. This message, the Marvelous Working Wonder, can cure all the world's maladies, can take care of all the problems, if people just listen. And that's the key. Another key about the challenge and also the proof of my role as a messenger. Can he eliminate poverty? Can he come up with a plan that makes sense, that will work, that eliminates poverty? Because God would be able to do that. If there were a God, he particularly loved his creations, his children, he would know how to eliminate poverty, don't you think? But I'm the only person in the entire world that has presented a plan, and that's what the Humanity Party is about, that can do that. That it hasn't been challenged. People say, oh, it just won't work. Show us how it won't work. It will work, it can work, but how did I come up with that? How in the world did I come up with that type of plan that nobody else could? How did I solve the mystery and the symbolism of the Book of Revelation that can't be challenged, has never been challenged by any enemy or critic or scholar out there? How do I explain things that nobody else can explain? The only way that I'm able to do that is with, number one, my brain understanding the reality, the real truth about this existence and what's going on. And number two, the mentors and counselors that exist in my life that can answer those questions. So I can't remember the original question, but I'm sure you can take from that. And yes, back to this is the most important work that could happen. It is. There needed to be a time in the history of this world where the real truth existed upon this earth. There had to be. Or the challenge and the reason why we're even here playing this game of life, it just would be negated. It's important that the world have access to the real truth. Is the world going to accept it? No. I'm not popular at all. There's very, very, very few people that follow my work and what I do. But those who sincerely do, who read the books, who try to understand what this is all about, they came to the conclusion that indeed this is exactly what he claimed it to be, because there's nothing else that supersedes it. Nothing. Make sense?
I understand that you are the author of a series of publications called Reality Quest. Please explain what this is and why you wrote it.
Okay, see, so there's a lot in the history that leads up to that, but they're very simple. I gave up the role, I lost my children to a very corrupt legal system, and those are details that need to come out sometime, what happened. And that caused me to give up the role. I have my free will, especially with the understanding that I have of who we are as advanced human beings. I'm not gonna let anybody, I don't care if they're an advanced being or not, tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to. But when I lost my children, that completely changed my perspective of my role, and I didn't want to do it anymore. I gave it up. I told my mentors that are here, I'm not doing this anymore. Forget it. That happened in 91. I wasn't going to sacrifice my life or my kid's life or my wife's life, and Jackie was my wife at the time, for this crazy work, because it's a lie. The Book of Mormon is not the real truth. The sealed portion is not the real truth. The books that have come out even now aren't the real truth. And I didn't want to live my life under that again. So by giving up that role, it was a few years later, I think I published the first issue in 94, so it was a few years later.
November of 93 is the first publication.
Okay, somewhere along there. I decided this, because a couple years had gone by and nothing happened. I thought that they were going to call somebody else. I thought they were going to get another messenger to do this work, and that I would just become a great supporter. But when that didn't happen, a series of events happened, and I started thinking, why don't I just tell people, give them a perspective. Give them a perspective that will get them to think and help them, especially the LDS people. Because of my family being LDS and the things that they were doing, to me, my father, when you know the details, was directly involved in getting my kids taken away. He's done some terrible things. And, you know, he was a bishop in the LDS church. That's just what they do. The passive aggressiveness of my family members who thought that they were good, righteous LDS people made me at the time start doing some things and trying to do something to get them to think. So I begin this series of reality quests. Okay, I'm on my quest for reality. I begin to write things that juxtapose their beliefs with the real truth, but in a way to try to get them to think. And I did just that. I took things that cranks of the LDS Mormon people would say, and I presented them as facts, as this search for reality. But the reality quest in and of itself, the title, should tell you what I was trying to do. I made those publications, and I wrote those things and sent them to about 20 people. That's all I did. Thinking that I could make a difference, that I could help people to understand, that I could get them off believing in the LDS church or in God and in those type of things. Well, I didn't make one convert from those Reality Quest publications. Not one. And that gets you into that video. They published out there this snippet, a couple minutes of me saying, yeah, I wrote the sealed portion. They don't give you the rest of it. They don't give you, and that's why I say you don't take my stuff out of context. They got to give you the whole presentation of what I was trying to prove. I was presenting myself as an atheist to these two Mormons, to these two Mormon, they call themselves theologians, scholars, who wrote this book, 101 or 99 proofs, 101 proofs of the truthfulness of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I gave a presentation that I allowed them to take. They were the Richardsons. I can't remember. They were the uncles of my ex-wife, Sherry Richardson Nemelka, is my ex-wife. They were her Earl, and I can't remember the other names. I did this whole presentation. It probably lasted 2 hours, and they took this snippet out of there where I start talking about the sealed portion. I wrote it. The fact is, I didn't have the plates at that time. That was done long before the proper sealed portion even came out. But I was presenting things to people to try to get them to think, because that the enemies of Joseph Smith believed that he made it all up. He believed that he wrote it. So my basic premise of even saying that was, so what? So what if it's all made up? It is made up, because that's a fact. The fact that I knew is the Book of Mormon is not a true history of the Americas. The Book of Mormon is not what Mormons think that it is. It's completely different than what they think that it is. So based on that, I used my ego and my arrogance, thinking that I knew better than the advanced human beings who set all this up, that I could publish a series of papers, of treatises, that would help people to start thinking. And I failed miserably. It didn't help anybody. Nobody. Basically, nobody cared. It wasn't until I did it their way, starting in 2000, end of 2003, did it the way it was supposed to be done, that people started to accept the truth. They started to see through the bull crap that they had believed all their lives, changed their entire belief system in preparation to receive the real truth that we are simply advanced human beings. So Reality Quest was simply a manipulation on my part to say things and write things however I could to get people to think and to leave that religion. It was sent to my family, Robbie. It wasn't published anywhere. I sent it to members of my family who were LDS. I had an uncle that dropped out of the church. He was an attorney, Joseph Nephi Nemelka III. He died. I can't remember the exact date he died. But he liked it. He liked what I was trying to do. He knew what I was trying to do. I told him what I was trying to do. And he wished me luck, but he didn't think I was going to have any success. And he was right on the money. Had no success. If I'd had any success, I would have continued it. But I dropped doing it after a couple years of seeing, shit, they ain't doing nothing for anybody. So the reality quest of my enemies published, tell them that I wrote it every week for a year or so, 2 years maybe. Why don't they publish all of them? Because if they did publish all of them, you'd see the consistency in what I'm trying to explain. You would see me presenting information and things to people's minds to try to get them to think. Lying, yes. Because why did I think lying was justified? Because every damn religious leader and politician in this world lies to people. I knew that life itself was a lie. That the way that people thought about life is a lie. And it is true that I utilize lies to try to get people to think. But even if you read the reality quests, they're not well written. They just give instances and stories to try to get people think outside the box. I completely failed. But what did work? What worked was the actual translation of the sealed portion, the actual publication of all the books of the Marvelous Work and Wonder. Those things are powerful. That's what affected your mind. That's what affected Sharon's mind. That's what affects many people's minds. Not Christopher Nemelka going maverick and rogue as a messenger, because I'd given it up at that time. It's him following a protocol that's been set, quote unquote, before the foundation of this world to try to help people. And once I did that, incredible success, at least among those who were searching for truth. Okay, so that's what Reality Quest was all about. Help me to clarify, if that doesn't make sense, you guys need to ask me questions, how that makes sense. Because it was just a short period of writing stuff to get people to think.
Reality Quest contains statements that contradict the experience you just shared in the Salt Lake Temple, contradicts what you've written in the sealed portion, and how you received the gold plates of Mormon. Can you offer any explanation that may satisfy a critic who encounters these contradictions?
Absolutely. I knew fully well, I go back to Joseph Smith's example. Okay, Joseph Smith said many things that contradicted what really happened. He never revealed what really happened when he was 14 years old in that grove of trees, as he put it. He never did. For many, many years, people didn't even know that happened. Then he would say certain things. And then finally, when he came out and gave the official version of the story, which was a lie, which he invented to try to impress upon people's mind the importance of his work, the importance of the Book of Mormon. When Joseph Smith did that, and I knew what he had done, I simply did the same thing. I simply made things up and presented them in a way to try to get people to think. That's exactly why there's contradictory things there. The sealed portion is not a true record of off of gold plates. Neither is the Book of Mormon. But its power, once a person reads it, and the effect that it has on their minds is proof enough to show what their purpose is. The purpose of the Book of Mormon was to take Bible-believing people away from the Bible, to show the people that the Bible was corrupt, that it was mistranslated. Mormons believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. That's what they say and claim. Well, the Book of Mormon states in it that the Bible isn't translated correctly, that it's a corrupt book. Mormons don't point that out because they're trying to use the Bible in conjunction with the Book of Mormon to get people to join their church. But the fact is, of course, the sealed portion is simply a continuum of what the purpose for which the Book of Mormon was published in the first place. Get people to think. The proof of what it is and its intent is ultimately proven in the people who have read it, accepted it, and left religion, left the Mormon Church. Staunch LDS members who would never in a million years believe that the LDS Church was corrupt. Yourself, Robbie, Sharon, many, many others. There's no way that you could ever, you read anti-Mormon stuff. You read everything that they published negatively about Joseph Smith. That didn't take you away from the LDS Church. That didn't make you question the Book of Mormon. This work did. This work finally did it. That's the power it has. There's no other work like it on earth. It can take a Bible-believing Jesus fanatic, if they would sincerely read the books and try to understand them, completely away from that mentality. And so, lies have been perpetuated for thousands of years upon this earth. And the fact is, it took a lie to counter those lies, to get people's minds ready for the real truth. And that's why the books are like they are. That's why my statements pre-2012 are like they are. And that gives my enemies fodder. That gives them that. But what I say to a person, listen to what I just said. There is no other work on this planet, and especially not among my critics and enemies, that can take an LDS person away from that religion and turn them into a better human being. That's the power of this work. So one might ask, does the end justify the means? Absolutely. Absolutely. Back in 87, when I had it all in my mind, walking out of that temple on June 16th, 1987, man, I wanted to yell it to the world. Man, this religion's a joke. Everything about this is a joke. We don't need the sealed portion. We don't need any of this malarkey, folks. But what would have happened? Would anybody believe me? There ain't a Mormon on this planet that would even listen to me. So, again, in my attempt to try to do something outside of the protocol and set means that advanced humans set for this marvelous work and wonder, I produced a reality quest, and I did a lot of other crap for 12 years trying to get people to open their mind. All failed. What did that teach me? All those experiences did was to teach me that I had to follow a certain protocol, whether I agreed with it or not. I had to basically lie to people to help them out of the lies that they already believed in. Because if you confront someone and say that everything that they, by which they value themselves, everything that they believe in is a lie, they're going to discount you and close their mind automatically, perfectly. I'm sorry, completely. A person does that all the time. But if you get inside their mind by living their lies and perpetuating their lies, eventually, once they learn to trust you, you can start to open their mind to real truths. And that'll get us in when we get to there to why I did the polygamy thing with Vicky Prunty and Marcy Janes, why I did those things. There was no other way. They didn't get themselves out of that terrible religion and that polygamy belief system. I did. I used what I knew was effective to help them out. I knew that the only way that an LDS person or a Bible believer would ever be able to know that those things are simply not true is for them to have something like their scriptures that made more sense than their scriptures. Does that make sense? Anyway.
Is the following statement true that you wrote in Reality Quest that during the summer of 1987, when you were 25 years old as a security officer for the LDS Church, you claim to have received a visitation in the upper room of the Salt Lake Temple where an advanced human who was the former Joseph Smith Jr. appeared to you. Approximately 7 years later, on April 25th, 1994, you wrote, and this is the part I want to know if this part is true. Through honest research, an open mind, and many hours of contemplation, I can make the following claim, which I maintain to be the absolute truth about the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is the work of Joseph Smith and some others who believed in what he was trying to do in the religious world. There were no gold plates, angel Moroni, or Urim and Thummim, i.e. the seer stones Joseph Smith reportedly used to translate the gold plates with.
Absolutely. I said those things just like I explained before, to try to get the Mormon people to open up their minds to the possibility that everything that they believe is not real, is not true. That was the blunt way of trying to say it. Because the fact is, Joseph Smith did write the Book of Mormon. It didn't come from the gold plates. It didn't come from the idea of a Urim and Thummim, as people suppose, from these seer stones. But the actuality and the truth is, he was given the information to write that he wrote from an advanced communication through what I call an advanced cell phone, which I just named the Urim and Thummim. But the whole point of that is there was no gold place as people perceived it. There's not even a God as people perceive it. So the reality quest was simply my way of trying to get people to think. I explained that already. So nothing in the reality quest, everything should be understood based on my intent for which I wrote it, for which I did those things back in that time. But it also gives great proof of the veracity of this work, because that didn't work. None of it did. And if I thought that it was useful at all, and I had this agenda going on, I would have continued that reality quest. I would have continued to try to help people. But the reality was, I could see even from dealing with people like Vicky Prunty and Marcy James, they did not want the real truth. They didn't want that at all. They wanted a reality that fit in with their perceived reality, whether it was true or not. So obviously, yes, at that point in my life, which was a small point in my life, I did things that are being used against me now, claiming that, did you lie to us then, or are you lying to us now? Well, does it matter? It doesn't matter what I say, whether I'm lying to you now or lying to you then. A person who would have read that book, I mean, Reality Quest, they would have, who believed it, who's a Mormon, they would have thought that I was lying to them anyway. So it's just a mute point. In my mind, it's a mute point. If people want to get into that, that's fine. And that's why I stopped you at the symposium with about these Reality Quest things. Because number one, people won't even know what they are, and they don't care. People care about one thing. This book, the source of the information that the Marvelous Working Wonder puts out there, where did it come from? Where did it really come from? Did Christopher Nemelka make it up in his genius mind? Or did it come from the sources that he claims, from advanced humans who taught him and other mentors who were living upon this earth and have lived a long time? What is it? It doesn't matter what I say. People are going to come up with their own conclusion of where that stuff comes from. But this, they cannot disagree with. The power of the Marvelous Working Wonder to take a person away from religion. Have you ever heard, Robbie, anybody ever discount that? And here's what's hilarious. Most of my critics and enemies, they want people taken away from religion. They don't like the LDS Church or Christianity, that stuff. And they're fighting the only guy, the only work that can do that. Why? Because you know some of these guys were simply offended by me in some way, because this work helped them out of that religion, helped them to understand it. And then I offended them in some way, and those offensive things were, you don't know what you're talking about any more than anybody else. And when I hurt their ego, they turned on me. They don't want me to be a true messenger. But they cannot provide any evidence or any work or any explanation that makes more sense than the Marvelous Working Wonder. All they can do is try to take apart my character, which in a person who's really searching for truth doesn't really care. I mean, really, Sharon, if I told you last night I went downtown and hired a prostitute and I had sex with her and Sherry and I got in a fight over it and whatever, would that change what you've learned from the Marvelous Working Wonder?
Not one bit.
You see?
This is semantics, but I think it's important because you want to make sure, at least in this biographic context, that you're not creating more controversy. So earlier you said Joseph Smith didn't write the Book of Mormon, Olga Cowdery did. So, and then just now you said Joseph did write. So just clarify that.
Okay, let me explain. If I say that I wrote a book, okay, actually typing the words out, I did. Actually writing the words down, that's a way of writing a book. But you can also have the connotation of that you wrote the book, you came up with the information. I wrote the book, that means that everything in that book I came up with. The fact is, I could say that and Monica Smith could have written the book. Yeah, I wrote the sealed portion. I didn't publish the sealed portion, Monica Smith did. Does it make sense? The printer wrote the words.
I just wanted that to come out of your mouth.
That's all. It's very easy to understand. Joseph Smith did not take a quill, a pen, and dip it in ink to all those words. He did not. Oliver Cowdery did most of it, the great majority of it. Joseph Smith told him what to write, though. And I took, I had access to a computer with a word processor from which I wrote the sealed portion. But where do we get the words? And see, and that's what people have a problem with. I'm telling you right now, they were text to us through this apparatus that you can call the urban thumb, doesn't matter. It's simply an advanced cell phone where we as a mortal person are in contact with an advanced human, and that advanced human simply gave us what we needed to write. Why? To help mortal people become more connected with their advanced self. It was all done on the... We have two levels of existence. This mortal level that really isn't real, and the advanced level, which really is. And it's on that level that they're doing things to counter the lies and the things that have been established over time that have deceived people, that have taken them away from their true self, that have completely isolated them away from their ability to connect with their true selves. This marvelous work and wonder helps people to reconnect, get closer to God more than any other work that's ever been there for people who study it, the few that there be. Anyway, so Robbie, you can continue on and ask questions. You can go back to Reality Quest and take out a sentence. Well, you said this, this contradicts this. The whole thing contradicts everything. The Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible. The sealed portion contradicts the Book of Mormon. The real truth contradicts all of them. Does that make sense? So it's really just, I don't know if people are going to be really interested in that. Harry and a few people, just Harry basically, are interested in that bullshit. I mean, it's just nonsense what I did back then. They might as well go back and why don't they do that to the Bible? Why don't they do that to the Book of Mormon itself? Why they concentrate so much on the sealed portion? Why? Because I'm alive and I tell them that they're idiots. I tell them that they don't know the truth. That they're just mad, pissed off, egotistical men who once had value because I gave it to them. I provided Mr. Dushak with all the value that he ever had in life, with friends, with a purpose. And I took that away from him simply by telling people, don't listen to Dushak. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He didn't know real truth. That's it. That's why he created this big site and starts to say that he's the number one expert on Christopher DeMille. He doesn't know me at all. But through these videos, a person can come to know me. And they can think I'm lying all they want. Yeah, I'm just going to sit here. He's such a good liar, I've heard. Okay, I can't stop that. I can't help that. The only thing that I got is the fruits of my labors. That's all I got. If those fruits are good, the farmer's good, knows what he's doing, obviously. Let's take one break.